be a little bit different tonight. I'm excited. So those of you who came, you're in for a treat, or at least I think you're in for a treat. You don't have to listen to me too long. That's the first treat. The second is I'm going to get to in a few minutes here. In Luke chapter 10, verses 1 and 2, after these things the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them out two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. I just want to talk about this for a few minutes. And one of the things that after I get done speaking, I'm going to have my team come up and they're going to be spread across the front here. And most of today is going to be just a time for you to come up for prayer. Normally, we have like a half an hour of prayer time at the end of our ministry time. And so if there's quite a few people, my teams are usually moving fairly quickly through people. Today, they're going to have closer to like an hour and probably an hour and 15 minutes. So it's going to move a lot slower so they can, really pray with you, connect with you on a deeper level, because I really believe that God is doing something in our midst. And one of the things that he's been dealing with me about is, I can't remember the scripture, but I think it's in the Gospels. I believe it was in Luke, but it said that Jesus said, they did not know the hour of their visitation. They didn't realize that Christ was there, that the Messiah that they've been asking for was manifest. God was incarnate, manifest in the flesh, in their presence, doing what he was doing. They didn't get it. They didn't connect it. They missed it. Many of them, there was very few of them that got a revelation of that. The problem is that we're the same way. A lot of times the Lord begins to do things in our midst, in our lives, in our homes, in our services, in our workplaces, and we're not connecting with God, so we miss it. We're not seeing his hand in it because we're too busy looking at all of the other things. We miss God walking in our midst. We miss him speaking into situations. We miss opportunities that he wants us to speak into situations. He's there and we just miss it. We're not sensitive to what he's doing because we're desensitized by the things that we listen to, the things that we read, the things that we watch, the people that we hang around with, where we put our time, where we put our energy. And all of these things take away a part of our spiritual life. It keeps us dull and deadened to the sweet voice of the Holy Spirit. So here's Jesus. In Luke chapter 9, he commissioned the 12 and he sent them out. And now in Luke chapter 10, he's commissioning 70 and he's sending them out to go before him. And I thought it was interesting. He says, I'm going to send you out. And he sent them to all the cities that he himself was about to go. So they're going and they're laying hands and they're healing people. They're casting out demons. They're setting people free. And they're doing this. And then Jesus is then going to go to that same city and do the same thing. You ever thought about that? See, we always think about he goes out there and these people came, the disciples came back and they're like, oh, great power. I mean, demons were subject to us in your name and all these things were happening. But we don't think about the fact that he was sending them to the very same cities that he was about to go to, that he went to and he healed, that he went to and he preached, that he went to and he spoke. They were forerunners. They were out there preparing the way, giving a taste of what was about to come. Like this, we're preaching the message of the kingdom and they're laying hands on people and people's lives are being changed. They're being set free. And it was like a taste just of what, because Jesus himself was going to be there soon. It's almost like a preview, the movie preview. It's like, oh, I got to see that movie. That just looks awesome. So they were the preview. They were a preview that because he himself was about to come to that city. I feel like we're in that hour right now. My soul is continually being stirred. I'm in a place of great perplexity. It's the only way I can explain it. I have great moments of joy, great moments of I don't know what's going on, and I don't know where I'm at. I get hit with anxiety, and I got to get my heart focused on the Lord. I get hit with this, and because it's like there's all this stuff going on. But in the midst of all that, I feel like the Lord is anointing, his presence is coming in such a way, and it's like a preview. It's the only way I can describe it. It's not that full manifestation that we're crying out for, but it's a preview. We're touching something. We're experiencing something that we don't understand. I've been having people, you know, that have been talking to us after some of the services, like, what's happening? They can tell the difference. It's like something's happening. And when I was talking with the Lord about that, I says, what are you doing, Lord? What do I need to be doing? What do we need to be doing? He said, just keep doing it. Keep going forward. Keep praying. Keep believing, because it's a preview of what's about to come. He's about to unleash his presence in a new way. We're gonna see things that we've been dreaming about and believing for and envisioning, and the Lord's been speaking to your hearts about. It's coming. Long overdue, but it's coming. When? I don't know. But I know right now there's a time of visitation. There's a time where he's saying, like he's telling the 70, go forward, go do this. Go before me, because I'm about ready to, I'm gonna walk through these cities, and I'm giving them a prelim. I'm giving them a chance to prepare for when I get there. I shared not too long ago about the story about the demoniac. I'm just gonna summarize one part of the message, was the fact that he gets set free. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and just loving on Jesus, and the Lord's speaking to him and ministering to him and teaching him, imparting truth to his life that was going to forever radically change him. Townspeople come back, tell him to leave. He's getting in the boat, and Shmuel, right? Is that his name? Shmuel. Did I say that right? Shmuel. Okay. I totally butchered it in Zion then. Shmuel, I'm gonna get that. That's Hebrew for Samuel. We named him because I got tired of him being called a demoniac. We had to give him a name, right? Because he's not a demoniac no more. Or he wasn't at the time. He was free. So Shmuel, Samuel. Well, I'm just gonna call him Samuel. You know what? Because I don't wanna butcher the Hebrew language too much. So Samuel, he's like, you know, can I go with you? And he's like, no, stay. Go tell them what great things God has done for you. And he goes and runs into the city, and it's the Gadarenes or the Gergesenes, depending on where they're talking about in the Bible, which was part of Decapolis. And then later, Jesus came back to Decapolis, the very city that told him to leave. We don't want you here. And it said they ran out to greet him. And they brought to him somebody who needed help, who needed healing. Their whole attitude had changed because Shmuel, I just like using that name, Shmuel. I did that right? Okay. If I don't, you go like this, just shake your head no. Because he went around telling the goodness of God and what God did for him. And the hearts of the people began to change. And so when Jesus showed up, they were ready for him. They were there to greet him. I want to be there to greet him when he shows up in power. I want to be there to greet him because I'm anticipating him, him showing up and touching his people. I'm anticipating that he wants to do more because his word says he wants to do more. I'm believing for greater things because he's asked me to. I'm pressing in for something more because that's what he's promised me. He's given us exceedingly great and precious promises. But we let go of them because we get tired and we get worn out and we're going through things. And God's saying, no, hope in the Lord. Put your hope and your strength in him. And as we do that and we connect with him, it prepares our heart. Because see, the hard part is when you're in the middle of a trial and when you're in the middle of things, it seems like all you can see is what you're in the middle of. Right? It's just like, okay, you know, you see things bad, see things not working out, you see all of these negative things because we've been trained, because of our strongholds, we've been trained to view things that way. See, a stronghold, a negative stronghold, you view things through a certain perspective because that's the way you've been trained to. If the Lord does a work in your heart in an area, and all of a sudden you change your perspective, you can see that very same thing in a whole different light, in a whole different manner. I mean, how many like being around positive people? Okay, everybody, how many like being around negative people? Okay, so some of you don't like being around yourself. Okay, I'm just saying. I'm not pointing fingers, I'm just saying. I'm looking at the wall. See, I can't. We don't like being around negative people. Because it just drains you. You like being around positive people that are moving forward, that are envisioning things, that are not giving up. Never, you know, I love this picture. You know, never give up. The lion staring him down. He's like, I always think of David's mighty men. That one of his mighty men was said he was walking home, and there was a snowy day, and there was a pit, and there was a lion down in the pit. Okay, now most of you, if you saw a lion down in a pit in a snowy day, you would keep on walking. This guy jumps in. All right? He's like, yes, I've been looking for some challenge today. There's a lion in a pit. Wow. Me and him, let's do it. I mean, once you jump in the pit, it's it. One of you coming out dead and one's coming out alive. Well, he's just like, yeah. So he jumps in and kills him. I'm like thinking, this dude is awesome. Some of you are like, no, he's not. He is. He was operating in another realm. See, he knew how to use the weapons of warfare that he was trained in. He was prepared for battle. And there hadn't been in a battle in a while. And he's like, yeah, there's a chance to, you know, test my skills out, see if I still got it. Life and death test, but still. And see, what we've done is we've went and stayed in our cozy little houses instead of being out there walking around and finding the lion and challenging them. And we're just sitting around. We're doing nothing spiritually sometimes. Or we're just kind of in holding pattern. We're just waiting for God to show up instead of engaging with him. Saying, Lord, I'm believing, I'm expecting. I've been taking out things that God had spoken to me years ago and just things, I've just been reading those things and praying over them and saying, Lord, you promised me this. Why did I give up on it? I don't know, but I'm back. I'm back because it didn't go away. Just because I quit didn't mean you quit. Just because I gave up didn't mean you never gave up on me. So I've been getting back into connecting with him because I'm like, Lord, what's going to happen when you show up? Now we could say, well, when he shows up, I'll jump in. Sure, that's one way. I'm sure he will offer that. But I really believe we miss something when we wait. Like that, with that kind of mindset. When you're not waiting with expectancy, there's two things that can happen. One is when he shows up, we become offended. Because I've just learned one thing: when God shows up, it's usually not the way you think. Okay, he just has a habit of doing that. He usually offends the way we think, because he wants to. He's like, here, I'm here, and I want you to worship me, not your idea of me. Second thing is that if we prepare our hearts now and we continually keep, you know, believing and expecting and keep pressing in for more, when he does show up, it's going to be so much easier to receive what he's bringing. Because if you haven't been preparing, you're going to have to start then. You're going to have to, I mean, we act like when God comes on and he does miracles, that everything just changes in our heart, and our strongholds just automatically disappear. I mean, sometimes he does radical changes in our lives that totally change the way we think. But most of the time, even in the midst of a powerful move of God, when he shows up, does something radical in our life, it leaves us with this, okay, now what? What do I do with all this? Because we haven't prepared for it. We haven't been seeking him. We've been just kind of waiting around. We haven't been engaging in faith. We haven't been growing in him. We've been waiting for him to show up so we could jump on board. And now he's here, and we realize how inadequately equipped we are. And so now we got to jump on board, and all this junk's happening, and we're just like, oh, no. I mean, then that's good. It's great. We're in it. But it's like we could have advanced so much further. I like to win, okay? I mean, if you've been around long enough, you know that. I don't play a lot of games unless I know that I can play. You know, like, for example, somebody says, hey, you want to play this game? I got to know in my mind that I can play the game without getting competitive. Because I'm very competitive. I mean, I play with my grandkids, and most of the time I beat them. I mean, I'll give them help. So, I mean, I'll give them, like, okay, stack the odds against me. That way it makes it even harder for me to beat them. But I play to win. I can't help it. Papa, why do you win? Because you got to get better. Just, it's the way it is. So my granddaughter, she's 12. She beat me in checkers the other day. Of course, she said, okay, we're done playing now, and she went and told everybody that she's the champion. I gave her I did a couple, you know, bad moves just to kind of give her some extra space, and I said, okay, now I'm going to go after her. That was my bad. Shouldn't have done that. She had been practicing and practicing and practicing. She just whooped me. She enjoyed every minute of it. But see, I taught her how to strive to be better, how to, you know, not to be set with this added, because we've got a whole society now that everybody wins. I mean, kids, Little League, I mean, it's like everybody gets a trophy. It's this whole entitlement thing that's coming up. I don't like it. I mean, honestly, I want my kid to lose. I want him to understand what it means to lose and how to overcome that. And you know, oh, we lost the championship. Okay, so what are we going to do now? How do we process that? Some people say, well, they're just little. No, they got to learn. They got us to help them through that, to help them to learn how to process. I'm a good loser. As competitive as I am, I'm a really good loser. When the game's over, it's like, okay, you know, my wife beat me the other day, and she keeps reminding me every day. I mean, I got to have a rematch because I'm like thinking, this is okay. This is, she said, no, I beat you. I says, I got it. I heard it the first five times. And I want you to be competitive and hungry for the things of God. Not competitive with one another. Because trust me, with God, there's plenty to go around. Right? I mean, there's plenty of him to spread across for everybody. And that's the difference between Christianity and the world. In the world, you have gifts, talents, abilities, and the idea is that you want to be the top in your field, which means you have to beat everybody else. In Christianity, it's not that way. There's plenty of God to go around. I can be the best, my best version of Christ in me, and you can be your best version, and there's plenty of room for us. I can promote you and not have to worry about what's going to happen to me. See, we don't understand that because we don't understand God. We're hooked up on our stronghold tells us that if I promote you and then you get higher than me, because we see things in terms like that, that then all of a sudden that makes me less. But God doesn't see things that way. He sees me as, am I faithful with what I'm doing? Am I faithful with what he's given me? Am I growing that area? Am I developing that area? Am I praying over that area? Am I pursuing God? That, how many heard the message on Sunday? What was that guy's name? John Dawson. Oh gosh. That was, I was at the 11 a.m. I'm hoping that they put it online, because that was one of those messages that was way, way deeper than I think a lot of people realize. There was a lot of depth to that message. It was not a simplistic. There was the things he was talking about were, there's certain things that I've pondered and pondered for years, and he was declaring them in a language that I've never heard before, and I want to go back and look at that. And it's things like that. You don't get that without spending time before God and in the Word and in prayer. You just don't get that kind of stuff. It's like, and going through a lot of things. And see, we want more of God, but we don't want to go through nothing. We want to spend no time with him. We want to spend time in the Word. And you're going to have to go through things. Some of you are in battles right now, and those battles are unto something greater than you could ever even imagine. And it might be something different. See, sometimes greater is different, and we don't like different. We want our idea of the best version of ourselves in Christ. And Jesus' idea might not be that. His idea might be, yeah, I've got a version of you that is totally different than what you're thinking. And a lot of times we don't want that because we feel like, okay, I'm going to have to give up something and lose something to gain Christ. See, that's what we're not looking at. Is I'm going to gain Christ. When I let go of my desire, the thing that I think is important, I gain Christ. How many have ever read Keith Green's biography written by his wife? Keith Green, right? I said that right? Okay, because I know there's another Green. Phenomenal read. But one of the things that happened in there is when he came to the Lord, because he was on the top of the charts in music and all this stuff, and he came to the Lord, gave his heart to the Lord, and he said he laid his music down. Okay, this was his talent, his gift from God. He came to God and he says, I've been using this for the world. He says, I will not sing in public again unless you give me permission. Could you imagine that? And he didn't, it was a while. I want to say it was at least a year. It might have been 2 years. Might even be more. I don't know. He would get asked, invited to different things as a thing. Nobody knows that he got saved. They just know he's not singing anymore. They would invite him. He would say, no, no, no. And then all of a sudden he gets invited to the Grammy Awards they do for music? Okay, he gets invited to the Grammy Awards as a special singer. And he says, well, I'll get back to you. And the Lord told him, he says, yes, I want you to go. And I want you to sing your new song. And that was The Prodigal Son. Has anybody, who's heard The Prodigal Son song? Okay, by Keith Green. It is like, it's one of these things, if the first time you hear it, I mean, it'll have you weeping because he tells a story. It's like 8.5 minutes long. He sings this at the Academy Awards. People were weeping. He never got invited back. Because we don't want that in here, but God showed up. And then God released him to start doing Christian music. But he took a time where God says, I got to straighten out the way you think about music. I got to straighten out the way you see things. And it radically changed his life. He was constantly giving albums away, and his album company says, you got to quit doing this. And he's like, because he didn't want to charge for them. But the album comes in and saying, you got to charge. And he was just like, it's God gave it to me free. And he'd keep giving them away, and people would be, sending them albums. And he was radical. But would we be willing to lay down the thing that we value the most? Whatever that is. Maybe it's speaking ability or music or a talent or an ability that we have that God's given us. And we know God's given it to us. The Lord's getting ready to visit. I mean, he's already going before us. His anointing has been increasing. I want my team to come up. Tonight, Johanna's gonna start doing some worship. As the Lord just speaks to your heart, if you want prayer tonight, there's a couple things that I'm asking. One is, if you come up for prayer, I really want you to narrow it down to one thing, okay? Because I'm telling you, if you come up with 10 things, they're gonna ask you to narrow it down to one. Because we can't cover, these aren't sessions. Whatever area that God's highlighting, just pick the area. If you're not sure, then spend time with the Lord. That's what the worship's going to be going on for. So just wait upon the Lord, spend time with him. Once an area is highlighted, pick one of the team members. Come on down. The second thing I'm asking is that once all the teams fill up, just sit in worship until you see somebody open up and you can come on up. Third thing I'm asking, I said two, but there's another thing, is please do not go to another team for prayer until you can see that everybody. I mean, we don't have a lot of people here tonight. They got the couples thing going on over in one of the other rooms. So, you know, if people want prayer from a couple different people, that's fine. But make sure that everybody kind of gets through it first. We have plenty of time. I've made sure that we had over an hour. So that's the only thing I want to say. And I just want to tell you, the Lord was speaking to me a couple days ago, and he said that he was going to move in these in the altar ministry time. He's preparing us. He just wants us to receive. He wants us to get in a position to say, okay, God, what are you going to do today? What is today the day? And if not, then what are you going to do today? What are you going to break through and bring to me today that I wasn't going to get in another day? Today's the day for you to press in. And if you don't get what you thought you were going to get, then look for what he gave you, because I'm telling you, you cannot come and ask the Lord and encounter him and not receive something. God has a way of just doing those little things in our lives, and he wants us to appreciate everything. So if God does something big for you, then praise him. If he does something small for you, praise him, because he's worthy. Father, in Jesus' name, I just ask, Lord, right now that you just begin to move amongst the team, Father. Lord, let your power and your wisdom and your discernment, Father, rest upon them. Father, release prophetic words. Release healing, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord, I just ask that you show up in our midst tonight, God, that you move in this place. That you move upon the hearts of men and women. That you bring freedom. That you bring peace. This is about you, Lord. We're just going before you, Father. We're just getting ourselves ready, Lord. Getting your people ready for what you're about to do. Increase faith, Lord. Right now, in Jesus' name. Let hope arise, courage and strength, Father, to believe. Jesus. I just speak to doubt right now in Jesus' name, and I command you to leave this place. I know somebody specifically felt something leave. The Lord wants you to get prayer tonight. Jesus. I just want to open up the time of ministry now. If you'd like prayer, just come down as the Lord leads you.
Jesus. You are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. You are good, Lord. We proclaim your truth, that you are good. You have good things for us, only good things. Lord, it's your promise that all things work good for those who love you. We believe, we believe, Jesus, Jesus. Yeah, you're never gonna let me down. 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 You're never gonna let never gonna let me down. You're 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 never gonna let me down. You are good, good, oh, and you are good, good, oh, you are good, good, oh, you are good, good. Jesus, you are our hope, you are our restorer. You know the desires of our hearts. We rejoice in you. We rejoice in you. Thank you. trust you, Lord. We put our trust in you. You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us, Jesus. We welcome you into our hearts. We rest in you. We rest in you, Jesus. We can rest in the truth that you'll never leave us. You'll never leave us. Yeah. Yeah. And you're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna leave us, Jesus. This is the truth. This is the truth. It's a reality. You'll never leave us. We can rest in this truth, Lord. You see us, you know us, you know our frame, Lord. You see our hearts, God. You see our hearts coming after you. We put our hope in you. We put our trust in you. We are yielding. We choose to yield our lives to you. We are yielding. We're willing to lay down our hearts to you, Jesus. Help us, helper, help us to lay down. Lead us, Jesus. Lead us, Jesus. You are good, good. Oh, you are. Jesus, the very thought of you, it fills my heart with love. Jesus, you burn like wildfire, and I am overcome. Darkest Jesus.